For instance, one soldier whom he kills, one ally of Turnus whom Aeneas kills, is named Magus. Magus entreats him by the shade of Anchises and by the thought of Ascanius, of little Iulus. Magus entreats him to spare his life, to take ransom instead. This is what Aeneas says to that. "Those heaps of talents, the gold and silver that you tell of, Magus, save them for your own sons. Such bargaining in war was set aside by Turnus first, just now when he killed Pallas. This is what Anchises' shade decides, and so says Iulus." With this he grips the Latin's helmet crest in his left hand. His right drives on the sword hilt high into that bent, beseeching neck. Aeneas here is in complete battle frenzy and complete fury. And in fact, Virgil uses a simile at this point in the Aeneid, comparing Aeneas to a monster, to one of the giants who fought in the legendary war against the gods, the war between gods and giants, a monster with 50 heads, 100 arms, 100 hands, who fights against the gods. Very surprising image to use for the hero of the epic, Aeneas, to describe him as a monster fighting against the gods. But at this point, he is raging like a monster. With Jupiter's consent, Juno removes Turnus from the battle. She does this in a very surprising way. She makes a phantom Aeneas. She makes a false ghost that looks like Aeneas and sends it into the battle. This phantom Aeneas leads Turnus onto a ship, and Juno then cuts the ship's cable, and Turnus is carried out to sea. So that removes Turnus very effectively from the battle. While Turnus is gone, and therefore out of harm's or Aeneas's way, Aeneas kills various other people, including the young Lausus. Lausus is the son of the exiled Etruscan king Mezentius, whom I mentioned a few moments ago. Aeneas taunts Lausus before he kills him, but then as Lausus dies, Aeneas thinks of his own father Anchises and shifts to pitying Lausus. So this can be seen as the moment at which Aeneas's rage for killing starts to subside at least a little bit. He pities Lausus even as he kills him and comments to Lausus that at least you have the consolation of knowing that you were killed by the great Aeneas. That's a comment that many critics and modern readers see as rather offensive, but I think within the context of these very Iliadic battle scenes, it makes some kind of sense. There is a certain honor and a certain glory in being killed by one of the greatest warriors who ever lived. And so when Aeneas says to Lausus, "Your consolation is that you fall at the hand of great Aeneas," I don't think that's meant to be seen as a taunt. I think that is meant to be seen as some form of consolation. Aeneas gives Lausus's body back to his companions, and then as book 10 ends, Aeneas meets Lausus's father Mezentius in battle and kills him as well. Mezentius's grief for his son Lausus once again sets up for us the theme of an elderly parent's grief for an only child. And it's an interesting kind of inversion here that Mezentius is an evil man. He's described as a cruel and really disgusting king, one who tortures his own subjects, whom his own subjects threw out because he was so terrible. But even he is shown as suffering intense grief for the loss of his only son, as we saw Evander do in anticipation when he fainted as Pallas sailed away with Aeneas, as we saw Euryalus' mother do. Now we see Mezentius, too, grieve desperately for his young son. He meets Aeneas in battle. He basically says, "Now that my son is dead, you might as well kill me, too." And Book 10 does, in fact, end with Aeneas killing the exiled Etruscan king Mezentius. So, in this lecture, we've seen how books 9 and 10 recap some of the foremost battle scenes of the Iliad, making this war between Latins and Trojans in some sense equivalent in importance to the Trojan War. We've also seen how the death of Pallas drives Aeneas into a passion of rage and makes him a killing machine equivalent to Achilles in the corresponding section of the Iliad. In our next lecture, we'll analyze the last two books of the Aeneid, books 11 and 12.